The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined by Chef Adrian Martin. I'm completely distracted, Adrian, because you have this lovely focaccia with you that you've made. What is that? Tell us what it is. I'm good.
So this is a rhubarb focaccia. So I wanted to basically showcase a recipe that goes back so long in Italy, in Italian cuisine. And I wanted to show basically the traditional way of making it. So focaccia can be stuffed with anything. And just to showcase that, I've made a rhubarb jam. So it's basically, I've picked rhubarb out of the garden, I've a kg of it. I'll tell you how to make jam firstly, because this is the starting point of this recipe. So basically, you take a kg of rhubarb, you take a kg of sugar, okay? You mix both together into a saucepan, you add 7 grams of pectin, which you can buy. Now, you can buy jam sugar if you can't get pectin.
Yeah.
And then you mix the two together, and then I have 2 vanilla pods into that and a little squeeze of lemon juice, and I place that onto the hob.
So no other liquid?
No other liquid. Place that onto the hob, let that boil away, simmer down, and then I blitz it when it softens. And if you find that your rhubarb isn't that colourful and it loses quite a bit of colour, you can add a little bit of red food colouring in there if you're stuck.
Simple enough.
As well. So that's a simple jam.
So just on the bread, like I think most people will be used to a savoury focaccia. Is this unusual what you've made?
It's not.
Not so in Italy.
Well, in Italy, traditionally, focaccia is just literally flour, yeast, salt and olive oil and water. That's basically it. And what they used to do is serve it at breakfast time and dip it into their coffee. So that was always traditionally what it was made of. Then you have then what's more known in restaurants, where we add garlic and we add rosemary and thyme and sea salt on top and everything as well. But then this trend came, and I love a trend because I love jumping on the bandwagon. And you basically have these gorgeous sweet focaccia. So I've made a raspberry version of this. So basically, this is stuffed with my rhubarb jam. So I'll talk you through the recipe for focaccia, because it's quite simple.
And raspberry in this.
So rhubarb, no raspberry in this one, but I made a raspberry one earlier last week. So I've been going through everything at the moment. So basically, the focaccia recipe is 500 grams of strong flour. So strong flour is glutinous. It's when you knead it, it becomes stretchy, and it creates an elasticity on the outside of the dough. So when you knead a dough, you're looking to create like an elastic band on the outside, which holds in all the air bubbles on the inside. So that's the idea of it.
Okay.
So you start with 500 grams of that. With focaccia, it's a lot more water liquid to a normal bread recipe. So it's 420 mil of water. Now you can take that up to 100% hydration, which is basically 500 mil of water either. But it is quite hard to handle at that stage. So you add your yeast to it. So I just add a 7 gram sachet of yeast, 2 pinches of salt and 2 pinches of sugar, and that's your dough recipe.
So that's a gloopy mess at that stage, isn't
it? Yeah, so it's a gloopy mess. You mix it, cover it, and in 15 minutes time, you're going to oil your hands and you're going to do a thing which is called the folding method for making bread. So basically, you fold the dough over itself. Oil your hands, really important, otherwise it sticks to you and it's a nightmare. And people come along then and they add more flour to their hands and the dough and think that's the right thing to do, and it completely wrecks the recipe.
Yeah,
and
you're panicking
at that point.
So what surface are you using to fold this on?
Oh, I'm not doing it on any surface. I'm literally doing it in the bowl. Leave it in the bowl and just literally turn it over itself. Literally very simple process. Now, if you're very lazy like me, you can just leave it and leave it for an hour and a half, and it'll prove away itself and it'll almost do its
instead
job itself.
Instead of doing the folding method.
Instead of doing the folding method, you can just leave it and it's a no-need focaccia. So that's the easier method of it. When you take it out then of it, it's really important that at this point that you knock out some of the air. So it's called knocking back the dough. So you want to create a second rise, because the second rise is the spongy rise, basically. Mm-hmm. So we would always describe it that, so you knock out the air, you line your tray with olive oil, you place your focaccia in and you let it rise again. And then at this point, then when on the second rise, then you can add your flavoring. So I've added the rhubarb jam, and then you dimple the focaccia. So dimpling means to get your fingertips in the oil and literally dimple all along the focaccia.
That's what gives it that traditional look so well.
And then you bake it then, once it's on its second rise, you bake it for 15 minutes.
So how did you shape this? Because this is in a lovely rectangular
shape. It's just in a tray. Yeah, it's just in a tray.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes
so
the shape of the tray.
The dough into the, there's no rolling or anything
there's
like
nothing,
that.
No, there's nothing, no. It's probably the easiest bread to make. It looks complicated. It looks difficult, but it definitely is the easiest. And then I finish it with, I call this like my Krispy Kreme donut glaze.
What is that? Just look
so this is just icing sugar and milk. It's 125.
Milk?
Yeah, 125 grams of icing sugar and 3 tablespoons of milk.
Mm-hmm.
You so mix it together and you get this gorgeous glaze. You want to try it? Because I keep describing
hand
it to
it
you.
Over. Hand yeah, it go over. For it.
Yeah.
Looks great.
I want to get this feedback now.
Making bread fills me with terror. You
does
know?
It?
Ah, it does, yeah, because it always goes wrong.
Oh, I think it's
we made a lovely, what did we try to make the other day? Just a very simple banana and ginger bread at home.
Yeah.
Did everything right, as far as I think, concerned, followed the recipe. Looked into the oven after about 20 minutes and the middle of it was gone, sunken down into it.
Well, can I ask you, where did you get your recipe from?
Where did I get my recipe from?
Yeah,
from
this,
a book.
See, this is the thing, all right? And I find this to this day, so many recipes out there, but an awful lot of them are like somebody's robbed somebody else's recipe and changed a couple of grams here or there and have never tested it.
I don't think it was the recipe that was wrong.
Yeah.
I think there might be a problem with my oven.
Okay.
Because when I switch the fan on, that's delicious, by the way, when you taste the lovely rhubarb. The rhubarb is like the bit that's getting me, you know, that I can really taste.
Yeah.
And then the focaccia comes afterwards.
It comes after, yeah. That's the idea. Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
So my oven, right? When I switch the fan on, it sounds like a motorbike.
Oh God, you need
is
an
that,
oven.
Do you think that's a problem?
That's a problem, yeah. You need a new oven, Claire.
I thought it was just revving up, you know, because it cooks everything. You know, it cooks everything fine.
Yeah.
Apart from when I'm trying to bake stuff and then it goes mad.
Yeah, I think your oven is the problem there for sure. Yeah.
So you can understand why I'm afraid of making breads.
Yeah. I would be too if my oven did the same noise. Yeah, it would.
Or a tractor, actually. More like a tractor now at this stage than a motorbike. So maybe I need to address that.
If any oven people are listening, Claire needs a new oven.
It's on my list. So, like, when it comes to bread, my question for you is it worth it to make your own?
Yeah, completely. If you think of I described to you just before we went on air, I can't eat bread in Ireland. It makes me incredibly ill. And that's down to all of the preservatives, E-numbers, everything that's in there. And there is a key message behind this.
And you're not celiac, you're not gluten intolerant.
At all. I just get horrible cramps in my stomach. When I feel terribly ill when I eat bread off the shelf in Ireland.
When you make your own bread, though.
I don't. No, I don't at all.
You don't get sick from it.
I don't get sick from it at all. I can eat tons of it. And generally, I use France as an example for this, because when we go to France, I can eat a full pain tradition, which is a full baguette, to myself. I love it. And I don't feel ill or anything. But in France, the rules are you can't call it bread unless it's just flour, salt, yeast and water, the four ingredients. You're not allowed to call it bread there, so you're not. That's and nice. I think it's similar to us. Like, we've become so processed with our food. I really think it's really important that, you know, back to basics, bread is so simple to make if you know how and your oven works.
Yeah. And I suppose once you get the method, you know, once you learn the couple of steps, it does become easier, doesn't it? I mean, describe it there with two proving stages, it sounds a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
But like anything, once you do that a couple of times and you're in the groove of it, and you can fit it into your week, it makes sense to try and do it yourself, doesn't it?
It does. And if you have a good no-knead bread, it's easy. You just mix it up with a wooden spoon. It takes literally 3 to 4 minutes to mix, cover it. You can come home later on in the day after work, bake your breads, you have bread made. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. I know bread makers as well. They're brilliant. I genuinely think.
You don't have an issue with bread makers?
No, I don't, because I think if it gets people making bread, I'm all for it. Absolutely.
I have one and I do use it from time to time, but then it goes away, gathers some dust for about 6 months and then it makes an appearance again when I remember that it exists.
But there is a simpler recipe to follow if you wanted. It's the easier method and it's great because it's very therapeutic, so you can take the anger out of who you hate on the bread. So it's basically the kneading method, which is basically by hand. Our first recipe we learned in college, 500 grams of flour, 325 mils of lukewarm water, 2 pinches of salt, 2 pinches of sugar, and 1 sachet of yeast.
That was beaten into you, wasn't it?
Oh, stop. And the photosynthesis formula as well. That too. So basically that recipe, you mix it all into a bowl with a fork. You're only allowed to use a fork for this. You tip it out onto the surface. Heal your hand. You're not allowed to add any more flour than what's in the recipe, and you knead and you stretch and you knead and you stretch and you spend 10 minutes doing it.
How do you know it's done?
when it it forms a lovely silky smooth consistency, but also when you push your finger into it, it'll bounce back at you.
Okay. Yeah. And what do you do with that then?
Into a bowl, cover it with cling film or cover it with damp tea towel and prove for an hour. Knock back the dough. Remember we say knock back the dough. So it's knock, punch all the air out of it. People hate to do that process, but you do need to knock back the dough to get a softer consistency. You shape your bread, you prove it for around 10-15 minutes and then you bake it.
Adrian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And you've inspired me now to go and get the oven checked out because as I describe it, it sounds so ridiculous. Oh, my cake didn't work because your oven sounds like a tractor.
I might have a spare oven. I could just send it to you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Adrian Martin.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.